I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to an InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast recorded December 19th, 2007. I'm Joe Gladyszewski, Inch co-editor and coverer of the ECAC Hockey League. Mike Idlebis, Inch editor and columnist, also on board, along with Jess Myers, WCHA senior writer. And I guess we'll start with the big news of the day, which is Minnesota sophomore forward Kyle Oposo is now ex-Minnesota sophomore forward Kyle Oposo. After signing a professional contract with the New York Islanders organization, the franchise that drafted him in the first round of the 2006 NHL entry draft. Your thoughts on what that means for the Gophers in the immediate future and also maybe as the season goes on the road?
For a team that was struggling to score goals, I can hardly think of any worse news. Granted, Oposo hadn't had a great first half. He had shown flashes of the brilliance that he showed the first half of his freshman year, but he was clearly one of the go-to offense on this team. A week ago, if you talk to Gopher fans, I mean, things were looking up. They had beaten North Dakota in their last outing. They were getting Mike Carmen back heading into their holiday tournament, and now this happens, and it's just a tremendous blow. I talked to Don Lucia a little bit today, and he just didn't have any comment at all and seemed pretty disheartened by the whole thing. You know, not only losing a player of this caliber, but losing him at midseason, which is a whole other issue.
No question. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, did you talk to him at all about what he's going to do with line combinations, power play?
No, he wouldn't get into any of that. I mean, it's just, I frankly don't think it sunk in at all. I said, you know, speaking for the future of college hockey, this kind of opens up a pretty big can of worms to come in and take. You know, not a player that was necessarily looking to make a move or, you know, a player with academic troubles or so forth. I mean, I don't know if any of that was going on behind the scenes with Oposo. You know, we've all seen players sign at midseason when they're dissatisfied with what they're doing or, you know, on a team that is perceived to be going nowhere. But you don't see it happen at programs like Minnesota, you know, the player of this renown.
You know, I look at this in two ways. One was kind of prior to hearing this news, I was thinking that, you know, about the season that he's had so far, and, you know, and like you said, Jess, that he's played well in spurts and shown flashes, and just kind of thinking that, you know, this World Junior Tournament would have been a good chance for him, you know, play against kids his own age where, you know, he's physically well-developed for a kid his age and, you know, can maybe go over there and have some success with the U.S. team and sort of get back on track and maybe some success at the World Junior Tournament jumpstarts his second half for the Gophers. Obviously, that's not the case now. I guess other than getting some money, I don't necessarily see what the advantage is to leaving in midseason and joining. I guess it's up to the Islanders to decide where he's starting, if he's going to start with the parent club or spend some time in the minors. But I'm not necessarily convinced that. I don't think I would buy the argument that this would be a good move for his development. It just seems like it's odd timing, and you know, he's not only going to have to learn a new system, but you know, learn new teammates in the middle of the year. Guys who've been playing together since September, learn about life as a pro in midstream, and it just really waves a lot of red flags.
I talked. I traded voicemails with Billy Jaffe, you know, who's a good friend of Inch and is the TD voice of the Islanders. He said two things. Number one, I asked if this was kind of a knee-jerk response on the part of the Islanders to the Chris Simon suspension. Simon, in case anybody didn't hear, is out for 30 games after another pretty nasty on-ice incident. Jaffe didn't think there was a connection there. He didn't think that this was necessarily a hole that they felt they needed to fill. And he also said he doesn't know if Oposo is going to be up with the big club right away. So he may be going to, I think it's Bridgeport.
Bridgeport.
And, you know, if you've got to spend January in Bridgeport, well, I don't know why you'd want to, but no offense to our multitude of listeners in Bridgeport. I know it's a great town. But so, you know, that kind of interested me, too, that this wasn't necessarily we got to fill a hole at Nassau Coliseum. This was done for other reasons, and I don't know why.
Yeah, not knowing those reasons, too, you know, I guess it leaves us only to speculate, which obviously we're more than happy to do, but...
And we're good at it.
And, yeah, we are pretty good at it.
Nobody speculates like us.
Exactly. And I maybe kind of like to throw this back to you guys for some comment, but if I'm, you know, not only, if I'm with Bridgeport or the Islanders or wherever, doesn't this raise questions about him as a teammate, you know, that he's going to cut bait in the middle of a season and kind of switch direction? I just don't, you know, it seems like a pretty selfish thing to do, and obviously the Gophers, you know, we're not having a typical Minnesota season, and I think we can all agree that Oposo was not playing up to expectations. But it just kind of seems like, you know, he's putting Minnesota and his teammates in the rearview mirror and saying, well, I'm off.
Well, to your first question, Bus, about the perception that his new teammates may have, I think it could go the other way, that the Islanders are bringing this guy in because they think they can make him a better team, that Kyle Oposo adds something that they don't currently have. And whether that is in Bridgeport at the American League or with the big club, the Islanders lost tonight at home to Buffalo Sabres. They are in last place in their division with 32 points. They have 2 wins out of their last 10 games. They've got to look out for their interests. And it is a can of worms, and we look at it from the college hockey angle, but I think from the Islanders' perspective, they're trying to be a better team than they were when they woke up this morning, and they probably accomplished that. So that's my take on that. And you look at the players' perspectives that they've got to play harder because there's another guy that's going to want that power play time, that's going to want those extra shifts, that's going to want to be out there with a 1-goal lead and 2 minutes left in the game. So you've got to compete for your job and perform at a high level to stay in the lineup.
The Islanders lost tonight, as you mentioned. Not only did they lose 2-1 to Buffalo, which there's no shame in that. I mean, Buffalo's a great team. They had 43 shots on goal and only managed to get one against Ryan Miller.
And that was
again,
a defenseman.
Yeah, no shame in getting shut down by Ryan Miller, but when you're at home and you get 43 shots and one goal, I think that maybe sends a message to fans that maybe we need another arrow in the quiver here.
Yeah, so that's where we are with that. My take on the timing of this was that was most interesting. We've heard a lot of rumors in the last several World Junior Championships that guys may sign or won't sign or will leave their teams, whether it's a junior team or a college team or an international team, after the tournament. And it generally hasn't held true, you know, those rumors that have leaked out from that tournament. This one comes well before the start of it, almost a week. The United States team flew over to Europe earlier today. So I think the distraction element is removed from the United States participation in that tournament, because everybody knows, and everyone will know. Of course, they'll be asked about it, but it's done. You know, it's not, are you going? It's, why did you decide to go? Or, what are you looking forward to most? Or, have you heard where they're going to send you once you get back to the States?
Yeah, it's... I going off the top of my head here, I want to say the last time something like this happened, kind of in this situation, was back in... I think it was the 2000 World Junior Championship when Matt Pettinger left Denver halfway through the season. He ended up in the Western Hockey League with Calgary. You know, and it was kind of a similar situation, a very, you know, Pettinger was not as highly touted as Okoso, but still considered, you know, a borderline first-round pick. He was draft eligible at the time. And, you know, lo and behold, the team that held his rights, the Calgary Hitmen, their coach at the time, and I'm not 100% sure who it was, just happened to be a part of the coaching staff for the Team Canada at the World Junior Championship. And so I think the guy was in his ear for a couple weeks, kind of extolling the virtues of the Western Hockey League and the things that it could do for his draft status, and he ended up bolting. And then in the irony of ironies, he got hurt real early in his Western Junior with Calgary, and ended up going in the second round. And obviously now he's with the Capitals and playing on their top line. But that's the last time I can think of something of that nature happening. And I'm sure if something has happened since then, somebody will email us.
Yes. I'm sure they will.
Forthwith.
But we appreciate those.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did Duncan Keith leave preseason or midseason?
He did leave midseason. He did leave midseason.
That's the last one I could think of.
For Kelowna.
Yes.
I believe.
Alex Leavitt left Wisconsin in the middle of the season, but that wasn't necessarily his choice.
No.
Yeah.
That was kind of a whole different deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there have been other guys who've jumped ship. You know, a lot of times it happens, you know, early, it seems, like within the first month or something like that.
Oh, right.
You know, I remember Kevin Montgomery from Ohio State, who actually is on the U.S. team, did it, I want to say, relatively early in, you know, November. And then there was the kid at Wisconsin last year. Was it Nigel Williams? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The big defenseman left relatively early, too. So, but, you know, the timing of it is certainly odd. But I guess to follow up on something you said a while back, Jess, what kind of can of worms do you see this opening?
Well, I'll say this. I wouldn't want to be a New York Islander scout calling the Gophers for a credential anytime soon. I just think that this certainly has some long-term damaging effects on that relationship. And I guess to me, you know, and again, like Joe, like you said, we're obviously looking at this through the college hockey lens, but it, you know, it smacks me as, you know, would an NFL team do this, you know, come in and take a kid away from his college program midseason? It just seems to me to be almost kind of a lack of respect for college hockey as an institution that something like this would happen. You know, yeah, credit the Islanders for having the confidence in this kid and wanting to make their team better and all that, but it just seems to me that it's not done this way in a case like this.
How about, help me out, being Eastern-based here and not having seen a lot of the Gophers, what line was Okoso playing on primarily, and how did they use him in special teams?
He was on their top line and ran their power play. He was obviously a key go-to offensive guy on that team. I'm drawing a blank right now as to who his line mates have been recently, but you know, you look to Minnesota's top two forwards, and up until earlier today, they were clearly Blake Wheeler and Kyle Okoso. Those were the guys that you look to if you need a goal. I mean, you want to get the puck on their stick.
And he
played up top on the power play or in front of the net?
Okay. No, he would generally be an up top guy.
Okay.
Use his shot.
I have, like most DirecTV owners, you end up seeing a fair amount of Gopher hockey over the winter, and I saw them when they came to Michigan State for the showcase, and you know, Wheeler did not play the night that they played the Spartans here, but I mean, when he's on the ice, you can tell he's the best player on either team, at least that night. And just the way he handles himself and you know, his combination of skating ability and strength and size, and you know, he's got a quick shot, and he's you know, you can tell that he knows the talents that he has, and he knows how to use them. I mean, you just focus on him during a shift and watch the way he plays. I mean, there's no question. I think talent-wise, I wouldn't hesitate to put him in, you know, one of the probably the 10 most talented guys in college hockey. That's just from a talent standpoint, not from a result standpoint, because obviously, you know, he had his problems this year, but when you watch him play, I mean, you can tell that he's destined for bigger and better things.
And, you know, the one thing about Kyle, I mean, from a media standpoint, he was always good to deal with, and he had confidence, but not a cockiness. I mean, there was a real distinction there. The fact that he could pull off something like that goal he scored last year in Mankato with the pull it back between the legs, you know, flip it over the goalie's glove, that thing. I mean, to have the guts to even try that in a game, fully realizing what a fool you look like if you don't score, but to have the confidence that, you know, he could make a move like that, and afterwards kind of brush it off as, you know, hey, just something I've always wanted to try to do, you know, not that big a deal, whatever. You know, good kid to deal with, and I wish him the best. I just, I don't like the circumstances.
Here's the big one. Minnesota, 9-8-1, 5-7-0 in the WCHA. Do they make the NCAA tournament, yes or no?
I don't think so.
Us?
And it's predicting, and I'm predicting based on their second half schedule and just, you know, not having enough to get done what they need to do to stay up where they need to be.
I am going to also say that they will not make the NCAA tournament.
All right.
You know, Carmen coming back for them would have been huge. And I think, you know, obviously it's still...
He'll still be a great player.
Yeah, he will. He'll
contribute. Put him up with a Jay Baraball or somebody like that, and they'll move the puck well. But it puts Minnesota in the weird position where, you know, they've never been a team where you could shut down one line and shut down their team.
Right.
And now they just don't have that depth where, you know, they can throw three lines at you, you know, with any consistency.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, their special teams haven't been terrific. Their power play, I should say, specifically hasn't been up to the level that we expected from the Gophers.
Right.
You know, I still think they're having some struggles on offense or on defense, I should say, too. I mean, they're young on the blue line, and, you know, I think they're just going to have to... I think they're just going to have to, you know, it's going to end up being a rebuilding year. Obviously, they won't admit it, you know, midway through the season, but...
And I tell you, Bus, you talk about their defense. Cade Fairchild, to me, is looking like a great guy to build a defense around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have been really impressed, not only with his skills, but just his poise with the puck and the way, you know, he's not afraid to completely control the power play up top. I mean, for a freshman to step in the way he has impressed me, and I know it's impressed a lot of people around the league. And you know, that's if you want to look for a silver lining, Gopher fans, there's a real bright spot for the future. He's going to be a great player.
I would agree.
Last time Minnesota was not in the NCAA tournament was in the 1999-2000 season. They've been in every year since then. The longest streak of tournament appearances belongs to?
I would say Michigan.
The Michigan Wolverines. Dating back
to a winner.
1991. So that means the last time Michigan was not in a tournament was the spring of 1990. Also a year when Colgate played for the national championship. So. Saw things were going.
The times they are a-changing.
So...
And it was a Joe Louis Arena. And
it was a Joe Louis Arena, and they played the Badgers, yeah.
I went to Joe Louis Arena on Monday. I think I ate the same popcorn from 1990. they still had that same hot dog on that rotisserie going around. They just brushed the dirt off it.
The porcelain troughs in the men's room.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful building.
It is a wonderful building.
I'm being facetious, of course.
Ovi, good?
Good, yes, very good.
Yeah,
very good. Very good.
He's good for hockey.
I think so, yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
He really is, you know, for all the acclaim that Sidney Crosby gets. And granted, Sidney Crosby's a good player. If you could,
it sounds like there's a but in this sentence.
No, I'm just saying that there's not a but. No, there's no
but. Tell us about your big butt.
Sir Mix-a-Lot? No, there's not a but. I just think that, you know, obviously Ovechkin, I think, brings a different set of skills. You know, he's as good as Crosby, I think. But what really sets him apart and makes him so, so unique is his personality. You know, he's kind of a, you know, a little bit of a goofy, fun-loving guy. I would say probably a little bit cocky, but brash, and, you know, he's enjoying himself, and we don't see enough of that, I don't think, in at the NHL level. You know, guys are used to, you know, kind of used to hearing the same, you know, company line from these guys about, you know, taking them one game at a time, this, that, and the other thing. And then you got a guy like Ovechkin who, you know, I specifically remember one of his, something he did. He did the Dan Patrick outtake article in ESPN, the magazine. And, you know, he said, I'm the best PlayStation player in the world, and I'm the best dancer in the world. I'm great. And, you know, but he's just having fun with it, you know? I mean, the guy's got a great life, and he's doing what he loves, and I think the NHL... They need to embrace him, his personality, a little bit more.
I think so. The way he celebrates his goals rubs people the wrong way, because if he scores the Caps' first goal in an 8-1 loss, I mean, he's going to celebrate it, because he loves scoring goals, and he loves celebrating scoring goals.
Right.
You know, you or talk, if he scores talk, this...
I was going to say, you talk about the way times have changed. I mean, remember 20 years ago when Russians were known as being, you know, stoic and emotionless and business-like. Now you look at a player like Ovechkin or Ilya Kovalchuk as, you know, these exuberant, you know, fun-loving guys on the ice that we just don't see from a lot of North Americans. So that's obviously a big switch.
Good point.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. What else do you want to talk about?
I think Ovechkin should embrace his image as the fun-loving guy and come out with a nameplate that just says Ocho.
That'll work.
I don't know if that's against league rules.
Oh, I'm sure it is. They find a way. Oh, wait, that's fun? No, we don't allow that.
Yeah. This could get us on SportsCenter? Oh, geez, no.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. We might get on TV. Well, then we can't have
no,
that.
No, we can't have that.
That's not in the collective bargaining agreement.
If the channel's not in the 700s, we don't want anything to do with it.
Wow. I'm trying to weasel my way into some tickets for the Winter Classic in Buffalo. So we'll see what we can do about that. I may have a report.
We'd not be doing our duty, I don't think, if we went without mentioning what a difficult and sad month this has been for a lot of us in the college hockey world. It started back, I think it was late November, when Andrew Jackson, a club player from Purdue, was killed on the way to a game. The Purdue club team's van rolled over, and a freshman defenseman from Purdue lost his life. Sad, sad time there. As many of you know, and you've seen on our website, our friend Barkin, we said goodbye to very unexpectedly early this month. And I was going to say, guys, we should do like a moment of silence for John, but we have so many awkward moments of silence in the podcast anyway that I like to think all of those are for John. And that's the way he'd want it.
We could do a moment of silence for John, but then the people that knew him knew there was never a moment of silence around John, so what's the point?
Yeah, we need a moment of, like, raucous.
Yeah, a moment of somebody shouting something inappropriate from across the room.
That would be much more in keeping with John's style.
Yeah, exactly.
And another, and this one kind of flew under the radar, but sad story out of Anchorage. Matthew Gordon, the junior backup goalie for the Seawolves, got plunked in the eye by a puck during a game. Puck flew out of play under the bench, hit him in the eye, and it looks like it's going to be a career-ending injury. He's probably not going to play hockey again, just based on this total fluke play. The AD put out a statement, what looked like a pretty simple injury that they would just, you know, stitch up a cut above his eye. Now looks like he's got some permanent eye damage and is probably not going to play again. So as if we needed one more depressing story for the month of December, there's another one for you.
Yeah, I did see that. That's certainly a freak incident.
No. Yeah. I'm sure the NCAA will step in. Coaches will have to wear full face masks on the bench pretty soon.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I did read...
George Roll at Clarkson is wearing a helmet in practices. He got hit with a shot during practice right above his ear.
Ow.
That was earlier this year.
In high school and youth hockey in Minnesota now, that's required. Coaches have to wear helmets on the bench and during practice.
On the bench?
On the bench, during games, and on the ice during practice, you have to wear a helmet now.
Really?
So you're calling timeout with a minute left to diagram a face-off play, and you've got a Jofa on your head?
Absolutely.
Holy mackerel.
That is, I did not know that. Is that new this year, did you say?
That's new this year. Yep.
Are they going to put protective netting up in front of the benches now?
Jeez. I think make the benches like the penalty boxes. Just put plexiglass right in front. You know, you have a door, you have to go out.
It'd make changing on the fly much more exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Put the net in there.
It'll be like no more hopping the board. You got to hop the glass now. It'll be a ladder.
Let's put that netting there, and it'll be like a booby trap in the jungle. Pull you right up and pull you right up to the rafters.
Randomly place snares.
Wow, helmets.
Gives a whole new meaning to the neutral zone trap, doesn't it?
That would be interesting to see the line changes. Single file guys coming out. They'd look like the Hansons.
It'd be like the school lunch line. Everyone lined up along the wall and other people going through. Yeah, we'll see.
What do the coaches think about this?
You know, hey, what can you do? If it's a mandated thing,
do you have
you
to
can complain about it all you want. But
do you have to wear a helmet, hockey helmet, or could
you
wear like a batting helmet?
I'll be honest. I'm a bad person. I have not been to a high school hockey game this year. I know that's sacrilege if you live in Minnesota, but so I haven't.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't really
seen
heat
what
up.
It looks like in practice, but
it doesn't really heat up until post Christmas anyway. Let's be honest. Or could you wear a football helmet and take the? You know what I'd wear? I'd get one of those Evel Knievel helmets.
Yeah, get like the old like Tony Frisch NFL helmet with a single bar that hangs like way down.
Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
How about those half-shell motorcycle helmets?
Yeah.
Those are great.
Or the old snowmobile helmet that had the visor that you pull right down over your face.
Oh, yeah.
How about one of those like luge helmets? With the like form-fitting glass helmet. Yeah.
I'd get a Darth Vader mask.
Ooh. Hey, have fun with it, you know?
Wear a cape. Why not?
If your team's nickname is, like, you know, like Cretan the Raiders, you know, wear like something with horns on it.
I would, or maybe you could wear a hard hat.
Well, that's a good idea.
There you go. Look like the Village People.
no. Come out there.
Coming up in the second intermission, Coach Idlebus will perform the YMCA.
I don't think Macho Man. I'm going to do it. The rest of the coaching staff will join me for a spirited rendition of Apache.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I don't think we need to dwell on that.
They don't play that at the Ralph as much anymore now. The NCAA started getting uppity.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Wow, now I'm going to have to go to a hockey game over Christmas break, a high school game, just to see this.
No, I feel bad that I haven't followed up, because it was all the rage in the papers this year that the league had mandated that coaches wear helmets. But now I haven't actually seen it in practice, so I'm going to have to
I might have to go to the Schwann's Cup, I think.
Oh, yeah. XL Energy Center.
There's some decent
Can't
games
yeah.
at the Schwann's Cup.
Take photos.
There's some prospects playing. A Holy Angels Academy, I believe, is playing in the Schwann's Cup. I actually looked at the schedule yesterday. I can't remember who else is playing. Some future.
How's Grand Rapids this year, Bus?
I think they are average.
Puck, how's the Warriors?
You know, again, I'm a bad alum. I don't even know. I think they're pretty good. They just beat like Hibbing and Greenway last weekend. So, but they're not as good as Roseau, which is pretty much all that matters if you live in
That is all that matters.
Yeah.
Very, very well summed up.
If you're 2-18, but you beat Rosa twice, it's like, hey, good year. Everybody letters.
All right.
That's great. Right.
You guys want to talk about college hockey or no?
Yeah.
Nah.
I had one more college hockey related item. I read.
I'm sorry. We're out of time.
I'm the big pop culture fan.
Yes.
So I read, I don't know if it was in maybe Kevin Paul DuPont's notes in the Boston Globe or if I caught it someplace else, that Hillary Duff was spotted. Hillary Duff, of course, is the girlfriend of former Wolverine, current Islander. See how this comes full circle?
Yes.
Mike Comrie.
Kind of.
And she was spotted, oh, you know what, her sister, Haley Duff, divulged that she's been reading Hockey for Dummies.
Ah.
Ooh.
Must be serious.
Yeah.
Must be love.
I guess so.
Or she's trying to land a hockey player.
As opposed to our website, which I've always thought of as Hockey by Dummies.
Yeah. I wonder if she borrowed Gary Bettman's copy.
Yeah. Who was the other celebutante that you mentioned last week
in our
conversation? Someone was at an Oilers game?
Somebody, I did? I mentioned?
Yeah, we were talking about it. Wasn't Jessica Simpson. She was watching football and pissing off T.O.
Good for T.O., by the
Cuthbert.
Way. I like that.
Nice job.
We've talked plenty about Alicia Cuthbert. Are we talking about her still?
No.
Was it somebody in that realm?
It was a music. I want to say it was like...
Carrie Underwood?
Bingo.
Carrie Underwood, I think is right. Yeah.
Bingo. That's who it was.
She was at an Oilers game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Why?
Sean Horkoff, I hope. Go get him, Hork.
She saw Rexall Place. She needed a prescription filled. She was confused.
There's actually quite a few. If you keep your eyes open, you'll see a few. Actually, you know what I saw? And Sports Illustrated has their little photo galleries that they run on their website, and they had one of their oh, I think it was called Caught in the Act or something. And they had a shot from a Kings game last week. Emilio Estevez and Joshua Jackson, the former co-stars of Mighty Ducks, were at the Kings game. Sitting on the glass, no less.
Nice.
So, nice. Coach Bombay was doing some scouting, I think.
That year the Frozen Four was in Anaheim. That was the one bona fide celebrity sighting when we were out in the L.A. area. Was my wife had tickets down in the corner of the Arrowhead Pond, and about two seats over from her was Kurt Russell with his kids, you know, yelling and screaming and cheering real loud for New Hampshire when they played Michigan State. That was before he played, so who knew there was a hockey connection at the time?
Yeah.
Yes. Wyatt Russell is playing college hockey, his son Wyatt.
Yes.
I believe in the CHA somewhere.
Alabama Huntsville.
Alabama Huntsville,
yes.
Yeah.
That is it.
Oh, and speaking of pop culture related to hockey, and I didn't see this either, but I've read about it. I guess on How I Met Your Mother, show I've never watched, there was a random mention of Mason Raymond of the Vancouver Canucks last week.
And former Minnesota Duluthian.
Former Minnesota Duluthian player, yeah.
I
was mentioned on the show.
I heard that, but what is the context?
I don't know what the context was. It was, you know, they had gone to a hockey game and seen Mason Raymond. Now, how on earth, you know, if you're picking out, even if you're picking out a random Canuck, how do you pick out Mason Raymond? Somebody must have really liked the name or something.
He's got a guy.
Yeah, that does not make much sense whatsoever.
Although, former UMB football player Tim Sitars, who I knew very well when I was in college, is a very busy, very well-paid stuntman in Hollywood. Look him up on Internet Movie Database. The guy's everywhere. So maybe through his connections, maybe he got somebody to throw a UMB hockey reference into a show.
I've seen How I Met Your Mother. I don't think they're doing a lot of stunts on that show.
Well, it was sweeps week.
And I know Sitars, too. And he's kind of a Mike Golick lookalike.
Yeah.
I don't think he's standing in for Neil Patrick Harris or anything.
No, he does a lot of action movie type stuff.
Yeah, which is good because those are usually where you find stuntmen.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to The English Patient or Shine.
Yeah, you don't see Emma Thompson having a stunt double.
Not getting any of these jokes, by the way.
Come on.
I don't watch movies. Anyway.
Just because
so that Netflix gift certificate I got you for Christmas is just going total waste. Man.
No, I rented Dumb and Dumber 10 times in a row.
You really need to. There are many movies that cater to your sense of humor, I think.
I'm sure there are.
You really should see Superbad.
I've heard that from several people.
Boss, you inspired a movie purchase for me, or not a purchase, but a rental. After our trip to Notre Dame back in October, I found it moody. Haven't actually watched it yet, but...
It's not a bad time killer.
All things Fighting Irish, I'm going to show the kids. You know, they'll be impressed.
It's not a bad...
Further propaganda, brainwashing of the American public by Notre Dame football.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember when... Yeah, it was Lou Holtz was what directed that movie. It's not propaganda.
Okay.
Based on a true story.
It doesn't work as well if it's Oklahoma State football. This doesn't have the same ring.
Oklahoma State football is about a man. He's 40. He can take it. That's not true.
Or North Carolina State football.
Right.
The inch napkin.
For this week?
For this week was the Festivus airing of grievances. Anything else on your list you want to take time to air the grievances on the podcast?
Hmm.
Joe Louis Arena concessions?
Joe Louis Arena, period. Do you know what I'd like to... I'd like to air a grievance about these... the proliferation now of outdoor hockey games. Or games in these weird venues. You know, the Cold War at Spartan Stadium was fine. And I actually liked the Frozen Tundra game at Lambeau. That was pretty cool. Just because I think there was 40,000 people there and everybody was three sheets. Obviously, it was a Wisconsin game. I mean...
Including our photographer, which was kind of sad. Yeah,
there's a lot of pictures of the sky that day. I don't know why. But
no, shoot towards the ice. Huh? Larry, we love you. Merry Christmas.
But, you know, and the game in Edmonton was cool, and now they're talking about another Cold War at Ford Field with potentially the Red Wings involved, and I mean, what? Pretty soon we're going to be playing in an airplane hangar in Roswell, New Mexico, and you know, I don't know.
Radio City Music Hall.
On the deck of a steamship, or in Dubai or whatever, you know.
They're doing one at Ford Field with the Red Wings.
Well, that's the rumor.
And if it's like a game at the Joe, they're hoping to get 16,000 for it? Or what? I'm sorry. Cheap shot.
No, that's okay.
The Ford Field game, to me, makes a little bit of sense that you can dry run it for the Frozen.
Right, exactly. And I don't have a problem with that. I
agree. The novelty is worn off.
Right.
Fenway, that's always been murmured about. Don't know.
I just don't like
Fenway.
Well, yeah. I mean,
when the new University of Minnesota football stadium opens here in 2009 here in Minneapolis, I would almost guarantee that University of Minnesota will do something along those lines. Some sort of outdoor game, you know, versus Wisconsin or North Dakota or something like that. They had talked about doing something at the Metrodome and then scrapped it, thinking, you know, what's the point? Because it's A, not outdoors, and B, not as big as Spartan Stadium. So.
Yeah, I just... There's a lot of diminishing returns regarding this thing, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, it's the, you know... It's one of those things where if you did it first, it doesn't really matter if you do it best after that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who was the second person to fly solo across the Atlantic? Well, who cares?
Yeah.
And he did it quicker than Lindbergh, but so what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So quit with these outdoor games, unless you're going to play, like, on an actual lake.
Then that'd be awesome.
With no, like in Mystery Alaska.
Yes. I saw that one. That's a movie I saw.
That movie does not get enough love, I don't think.
I agree with you.
I thought it was a very good movie.
One of the great lines in that movie, I think, summed up a lot of our lives when the guy said, "I don't think much. I just play hockey and fornicate because those are the only fun things to do in cold weather."
Yeah.
Mike Myers' uncredited appearance as the Don Cherry clone is fantastic.
If you don't play this game with a lot of heart and a bag of knuckles, you don't got stinky do.
Grapes never has to miss a coach's corner. They should just get Mike Myers to step in.
He'd parody himself, and I think it would be less funny. than if you just actually just teed off like Grapes does.
You think so?
I think so. But who knows? We'll never know.
We will never know.
We could know.
Don Cherry will live forever.
He will. Thank God.
Have we deteriorated enough?
Oh, we've excessive deterioration.
This is we haven't really gone off the deep end this year like this. So
it's our holiday gift to you, the listeners of the Inch Podcast.
there's one more. There's one more complaint, actually.
Okay.
I'm gonna complain about. Let's see. I'm gonna think of the teams that do it routinely, or the fans of the teams that do it routinely, and you jump in if you feel like I'm missing somebody. I'm going to specifically highlight North Dakota and Boston U fans. You know, they're all over us when their teams are going well and they feel like they're being slighted or we're not giving them enough respect. But when their teams are scuffling a little bit, you don't hear from them. You know, they're like, it's like they don't even exist.
They're ignoring the problem.
Yes,
or issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that makes me mad.
Yeah, we used to hear a lot from BU fans.
BU fans disappear. Just fell off the face of the earth.
Maybe they were getting ready for the Frozen. Oh, no. They weren't getting ready for the Frozen. Oh, well, they weren't.
It wasn't Boston that one year. They probably could have got tickets.
Stitching up that bean pot banner.
Oh, they got a nice rink. Yeah.
They're difficult to beat on Mondays in February.
There's that.
So you got that.
I tell you, with Minnesota having a down year, I've seen almost the opposite. I've gotten so many panicked emails from Minnesota fans I've known saying, "What's going on? What's wrong with this team? What do we got to do?" Well, you know, it's like they haven't faced a rough year like this in a long time, and just frankly don't know how to deal with it, don't know how to handle it. And it's okay. You'll live through it. You'll come around. I don't see this being the death of the Minnesota program by any stretch of the imagination. A bump in the road. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll drop hockey within 3 years.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
I will grieve the weather storm that blew through the Midwest and Northeast on Saturday and Sunday and foiled my plans to attend Rensselaer in Miami on Sunday afternoon. So the grievance has been aired.
Just time for feats of strength?
Yes, that's right. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Did you erect the Festivus pole this year?
Excuse me?
Is that a racial?
That's what she said. Is that an ethnic slur? Oh.
Are you the Festivus pole, Gladys?
Gladys is the Festivus pole. I like it.
I am.
I have no further grievances. I wish happy holidays to everybody out there. And for those of us who have had, as what Adam Duritz called a long December, I wish us all a better 2008.
Indeed. And with that, we will close the Inch Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll have mid-season review notebooks and tournament previews as we get ready for the holiday tournaments. I guess we could have talked about those. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Another podcast we will be at.
There'd be no reason to read the site.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not much reason anyway. But,
no reason to shoot your wad right here. And...
Oh, hello.
That's a piece.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening to the Inch Podcast. We will have another one soon. Happy holidays.
It's a Festivus miracle! Yeah.